church program. The rest of us, we are going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we are continuing in our 40 days of prayer, the themes that we are joining together with other Alliance churches from across the country in a 40-day time of prayer, focusing together. This week's coming theme is prayer as petition. And you may have an outline in your bulletin that would help you to follow along the message. There's fill in the blanks on it. I'll give you those as we go along. And we're going to turn to Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. I think I had 1 through 10 in the bulletin, but no, actually, good job, John. I had 1 through 10, but John fixed it, so very good. We're going to read those verses, Jesus' teaching on prayer. We actually looked at the Lord's Prayer last week a little bit from Matthew's account. We're going to look at Luke today for some specific things about petition. And so let's read the text together. Well, I'll read it. You listen or follow along in your Bible. And we'll get the text in front of us. Then we'll come to God and we'll petition Him to help us as we hear the message this morning. So, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke wrote, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So let's ask the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for your word, because it is nourishment to our souls. It provides light for our path. It changes us from the inside out. Lord, your word is powerful. It does all of these things. We pray that as we attend to your word today, that you would give us grace to hear what the Spirit says to us. Lord, that you would give the Holy Spirit to us in the ways that we need to be touched here today, both individually and as a body of believers. We ask this in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you a strange question, okay? I've got a point to make, so hang with me, all right? Don't hang me. Hang with me. Okay? Here's the question. Oh. Yeah, I don't know if I want to ask this, but Here goes. Now, if this was youth group, Sean, this would go over well. I don't know here. All right. Let me ask you. Do you pray as well as your dog? Hang with me. I've got a very specific point to make about this, and I think it hangs together and will get us into the message, all right? Now, I know it sounds strange. Maybe you don't have a pet dog now, but if you've ever had a dog, you may know what I mean. My dog, Bernie, is impressive in the way that he prays. Now, let me say that the word to pray doesn't necessarily carry with it religious connotation. It doesn't mean speaking to God, okay? The word itself does not mean that. My Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary of the English language has definitions that relate particularly to communication with deity, if that's true. But they also have this definition of the word to pray. It means to make entreaty or supplication as to a person or a thing. So it can be used of earnest requests of a human being. Now, this was a much more common usage in centuries past. An example would be, for instance, centuries ago in England, someone may say something like this, speaking to the monarch, "I pray the king may have mercy on us by giving us more time to pay our taxes." You see, this was not addressed to God, it was addressed to the monarch. And it was, according to the definition, to make entreaty or supplication of a person. And so this is the basic meaning of the word to pray, to make earnest petition or supplication. Now, over time, common usage in our country and in the English language began to associate it almost exclusively with earnest communication with God. So let's go back to my dog, Bernie, and use the term in the way the Old English did. He knows how to pray in the sense that the word was often used in the past. You see, I will sit down to eat my breakfast, a bowl of cereal, and Bernie parks himself next to me and intently looks to me and watches me take every bite. He will shift in place as he looks very earnest towards me. He may slightly whimper if he feels I'm not paying attention to him. What is he doing? He is, in his own way, petitioning me to give him a little circle of Cheerio, right? Even if I just fed him, he sits beside me and earnestly petitions me. Now, why does he do this? Because in the past, he knows I have tossed him a little circle of golden goodness. In fact, every day I share a little bit of food, of my food, with him. You see, he trusts me to give him what he is asking. He knows that I am a pushover. He knows my character. He knows this, and he trusts that his petitions will be heard and answered. To be honest, I actually cultivated that in him on purpose. Now, I don't mean I wanted him to beg for table scraps, but trusting me to give him what he needs for life, I intentionally instilled that in him. When we first got him from the rescue place, now I'm virtue signaling here, right? When we first got him, at his feeding time, according to things I read and instruction I received, I would reach into the dog food bag and I would get a handful of dog food, and I would hold it down low to the floor and allow him to eat from my hand. Now, the purpose in that, to allow him to eat from my hand, was so that from the beginning, he would associate his life's necessities with me. So that put him in dependence on me, and he associated me with these good things. And so literally, I had him eat from my hand. Now, he came to learn that I was the one who provided him with life-sustaining provision. After a little while of doing this, I started putting it in his bowl. So when he is sitting beside me while I'm eating my breakfast and watching me eat, it is because he believes I will give to him what he needs. He does this without wavering. It's really impressive. Maybe your dog does the same. I would ask you, do you pray as well as your dog? Do you know where your life necessity comes from? And do you trust that one to give to you all that you need? So I'm being facetious with the dog, because a dog is not capable of the kind of cognitive, emotional, and spiritual awareness that a human being is, and therefore does not have the moral ability to really trust the character of the one who sustains him. But let's talk about prayer in the sense of earnestly entreating our God. What is your understanding of the nature and character of the one who created you? How do you think of him, and how does it relate to the way you pray? This week in 40 Days of Prayer, we are looking at the prayer as petition. Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, as it is called, has some details that I want to particularly bring out this morning. So let's look at three factors that will enrich our prayer lives. Three factors that will enrich our prayer lives. The first factor that will enrich our prayer lives is that God is a loving Father to be trusted. God is a loving Father to be trusted. God is a loving Father to be trusted. Jesus is building the beautiful truth that God is a most wonderful Father and treats us as his beloved children. If you look back at chapter 10 of Luke, verses 21 to 22, five times there Jesus refers to God as his Father. And now he is teaching his disciples, and he is teaching us as followers of Jesus today, that God is our Father too. He was Jesus' Father. He is our Father. And so we have the opening of the prayer, when he was asked by his disciples to teach them to pray. He began by saying, Father, or our Father. Verses 11 through 13, Jesus draws an analogy from family life, and he says that earthly fathers, as flawed as they may be, want what's best for their children, and they will give to their children good things. And from that, Jesus draws the lesson that God is an even better Father than earthly fathers, and he loves us supremely, and because that is so, he will give his good gifts, especially the gift of his Spirit. He will give his good gifts to his children as they come to him and petition him. About the same time that Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin collapsed on the field while playing the Cincinnati Bengals, a former Cleveland Browns player, Peyton Hillis, was flown by helicopter to the hospital from a near-drowning accident. Apparently, he was in Pensacola, Florida with his family, and several family members were out in the ocean swimming, and they began to struggle in the water, including his children. And so Hillis went in to save his children and succeeded in rescuing them, but he nearly drowned in the process. This occurred on January 4th. He was in the hospital, flown by a helicopter on a ventilator until January 13th. His lungs, you know, had grave issues. His kidneys were failing. He was finally taken off the ventilator just on January 13th and was reported by his girlfriend to be improving. Hillis is a flawed human being like the rest of us. But as a father, he wants what is best for his children. And in a time of desperate need, he was willing to give his own life for them. And this is the point of contact that Jesus is making in verses 11 to 13. God is a father who deeply loves all of his children and desires to give them what is best for them. Context of persecution a little bit later in chapter 12. In the context of his followers maybe being persecuted and finding it difficult to have food and clothing and shelter circumstances that may come if you're being persecuted by those who have power over you. Jesus there gives this reassurance to his disciples. He says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God so desires to give you what you need. As the children of God, you and I may trust him as a loving Father who will act on our behalf so we can trust his character. And so often when it comes to prayer, the difficulties that we have in prayer, if we are honest with ourselves, if we look deep in our heart, if we will examine the difficulties that we have, it just may be that we're having trouble trusting God's character. So Jesus teaches us here that God is a loving Father who always, always does what is best for his children. We will view God as a Father who deeply loves us and wants to bless us. Our prayer lives will be enriched. Second factor that will, I think, enrich our prayer lives is that God can be trusted to meet our daily needs. Our daily needs. Verse 3. We are taught by Jesus to pray, "Give us each day our daily bread." Now for the moment, let's just say that daily bread is referring to provisions for the daily necessities of life. Now notice that this petition is not just for the individual. As Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he teaches them to pray for the community, for one another. "Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." This petition then is followed up by the story of the friend who went to a neighbor at night and banged on his door because he had travelers who had come to his house and he had nothing to offer to feed them. And he wants the neighbor to help provide for them. The neighbor is reluctant because the hour is late. But we are told that this neighbor relents and he helps out because of the petitioner's persistent asking. Now this story is then interpreted as teaching us to be persistent in prayer and God will eventually answer. But I believe that is a misinterpretation of this story. It isn't about persistence in prayer. You see, in ancient Israel and in the Greco-Roman world of the day, hospitality was very, very important. It was one of the chief things that you owed to other people. Since there were no convenience stores, since there were no gas stations or fast food restaurants, travelers were very often dependent on the hospitality of others. It was a social obligation to provide for others in this way. Now, another fact of culture, bread was cooked and consumed usually in the same day. It didn't keep well from day to day. So this story probably took place in a small village. And everyone, as this man pounded on his neighbor's door, everyone within a range around that little place would have heard this disturbance. And quite frankly, in that day, the whole town would be expected to provide for a traveler. When you take these things together in the story told by Jesus, everyone who heard him tell this story and that day would expect the friend to open the door and help provide for the travelers at the first request. In fact, it would be shocking to their ears to hear that this man first said no. Because this would be considered extremely rude. To think that someone might act this way is absolutely absurd to the ancient person in this context. So this reluctant neighbor is not presented as the way our Father God is. You know, some people interpret this like, to get God to answer your prayer, you have to keep pounding so he'll pay attention. No, that's not what this is teaching. Jesus is actually contrasting the Heavenly Father with this reluctant neighbor. God is not like that man. He is willing to give to his children what they need. Ask, Jesus said, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Jesus contrasts the unwilling neighbor with the way that God responds to us. It's different. His point is that if an unwilling neighbor will give what is needed to his friend, how much more will God, who is not reluctant, who is a loving Heavenly Father, how much more will God supply what we need? So given that the Father is willing to answer, I want to revisit then what bread may be. Daily bread, I think, is talking about the necessities of life, like food and shelter and clothing. And so we are taught to pray and ask God for the necessities of life. But I do not think that is all that Jesus is talking about. Bread is mentioned in verse 3, give us our daily bread. It's mentioned as something we are to pray for. Verse 5, he mentions bread as a necessity of life that the friend asked his neighbor to provide. And then in verses 11 through 13, he uses the analogy of children asking for a fish and an egg. They're mentioned as, again, as things people need. Now, if you look at Matthew's version of this teaching, we're given a little more information there. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, mentions fish and bread. So there is this thread through all of these paragraphs of bread or the necessities of life. But as Jesus draws this teaching of how to pray, this story of the reluctant neighbor, and the teaching that if you ask, you'll receive, if you seek, you will find, if you knock, the door will be opened. In the conclusion to that little section of teaching on prayer, the conclusion that Jesus brings us to in verse 13 shifts from bread and fish and eggs to the gift of the Holy Spirit. No longer is Jesus just talking about praying for yourself and others that God will meet your material needs. You can do that. But you also ought to pray about this universal need of the human family for the Spirit of God to be at work in your life and in your community to bring about the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God to fruition in our lives. Jesus began this teaching on prayer by saying to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He concludes this teaching on prayer by saying, your Heavenly Father desires so much to give his best gift to you, the gift of the Holy Spirit at work in your life to bring about his reign in you. Now, this is not just an individual prayer. We are told to pray for our needs together. Whatever needs you have, whatever needs your family, friends, or community has, we are to come boldly to the Father and ask for these good gifts, especially the gift of His Spirit at work, establishing His kingdom reign in your life and in the lives of those around you. What do you need today? What do the people around you need today? What does our community need? Is it food? Is it provision, material goods, and the necessities of life? Is it justice and righteousness so that they may experience life as God intended it? Is it healing? Is it victory over addiction? Is it victory over mental illness, spiritual transformation in one form or another? God hears and answers all of those prayers when His children come to Him and ask for His kingdom reign to come. I can't help but think of what Jesus prayed when the 70 returned from their mission in Luke chapter 10, which comes just before this request to teach them to pray. Luke chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. 70 went out. They came back rejoicing that demons obeyed their voice. Jesus said at that time, the scripture says at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows the Father who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And he told those men, don't rejoice in what you've seen happen out here, but rejoice that your names are in the book of life. Jesus reveals the Father to us. And then, as he says this, he teaches them how to pray to their Father. Jesus is revealing the Father to his disciples so they learn how to pray to a loving Father who will give them the Spirit who will work out His kingdom reign in their life. I am encouraged by Luke 11 and what it teaches us about petition. We can pray for ourselves and others. We have a loving Father who is eager to answer our prayers with His good gifts of food, clothing, provision, and the transformation wrought by His Holy Spirit through His kingdom reign. Now, I asked you to pray for someone close to me for a long time, and you did. And God heard and answered powerfully. But now the need is there again. And I am encouraged that we have a Father who loves His children and is good to them. And so I pray in faith in the Father who will hear my prayers, our prayers, on behalf of those that I love. I believe that the Father will be pleased to hear and answer prayers that you have for people you know that need the work of His Spirit in their life, who need some physical or material blessing, who need transformation, who need to be delivered and set free. All of these things we go to God because of who He is, His nature as a loving Father who really wants to give His best gifts, the gift of His Spirit, to those who come and ask. The last factor that will enrich our prayer lives is when we learn that the Father is to be trusted and loved for Himself. When we learn that the Father is to be trusted and loved for Himself. Now, Jesus' primary emphasis in this teaching is that God is a good Father to you. Let's not miss the chief blessing of this passage, a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Far more important than the answers to individual or specific prayers is communion relationship, fellowship with the Father in heaven. Haddon Robinson is perhaps the dean of preachers in America today, and he makes this point with an illustration from his family. He says, when our children were small, we played a game. I'd take some coins in my fist, and they'd sit on my lap, and they'd work to get my fingers open. They would pry and pry. And he says, now the international rules for finger opening, once the finger is open, it has to remain open. So they'd get one open, and then they would sit on his lap, and they'd continue to struggle, and they'd pry, and another finger would come open, and it would remain open. And they would continue to do this until his hand was open, and they could take the pennies from his hand. And then they would jump down and run away, filled with glee and delight. Just a kid's game, he says. Just a game. And then he draws this correlation. Sometimes when we come to God, we come for the pennies in his hand. Lord, I need help to get through this work day. A student may pray, I need a passing grade, help me study. We may say, Lord, I need a job. Lord, my mother is ill. We reach for the pennies in his hand. And God grants the request. We jump off of his lap, push the hand away, and run off. More important than the pennies in God's hand is the hand of God itself. We should take that hand and hang on to that hand and remain in close fellowship with the Father, who gives all the good gifts. You see, that's what prayer is about. Developing that love for God, that you love him just for himself, to be close to him. So that's what we may learn the most as we exercise prayer and petition. Now, I don't know what encouragement you may need today. I don't know what you face in your life, what challenges or trials are in your path and challenging your faith. I offer to you this passage today, the promise of Christ that says, everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then on top of that, I give you an even greater truth, that God, as your heavenly Father, he intends to give you his best gifts, his Spirit, his kingdom at work on your behalf, and an unbroken fellowship with him if you will reach out and take his hand. We understand petition in this way. Our prayer lives will be enriched. And we pray together. Father, what a privilege it is to be able to call you Father. What deep meaning it holds. We must confess that so often that word falls from our lips very glibly, without much thought. Father, you are worthy. You are worthy of our attention. And if we would know it, Lord, it is greatest blessing to be able to speak to you directly, this relationship that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, we are truly blessed. We offer you thanks this morning.